From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, The Psychic World with Diane Pomerantz. And in a moment, American Conspiracies with none other than Jesse Ventura. Here's what's happening. The death toll from severe flooding in the states of North and South Carolina has now risen to 17. South Carolina had 15 weather-related deaths, six of them as a result of floodwaters just sweeping over vehicles. How horrible can that be? Tuesday was the first dry day in Columbia, the capital of South Carolina, since September 24th, but the full recovery is still a way off. Authorities are warning residents that more evacuations are possible there. A British tourist who fell to her death from a cliff ledge in Australia was preparing to take a photo at the time of her tragedy. 23 years old, she was backing up, her foot missed the ledge, down she went. Did the U.S. military commit a war crime when it bombed a hospital in an Afghanistan city, killing at least 22 people? Some say it's too early for the experts to say for certain, but there's good reason to believe the attack may have violated international humanitarian law. And Vladimir Putin has sent his feared special forces into Syria to bail out Assad. The move is a blow to Britain and America's mission to wipe out ISIS but maintain an opposition to brutal dictator President Bashar al-Assad. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. We're not playing these cards outright, John, are we?
No, we're not at all, George. We're completely on the wrong side of this one. And, you know, the blinding hatred toward Russia and Obama's horrific relationship with Putin has resulted in the U.S. really being on the wrong side of this issue. The right side of the issue is to do anything you can to end this Syrian civil war, because it's causing this flood of refugees into Europe and weakening the certainly the European economy, but also the global economy right now, which everybody knows is, you know, teetering on recession in a variety of areas. But the problem, you know, with Putin is decisive. He decides to go and support his ally. He knows that what happened in Iraq opened the floodgates of terrorism. We toppled a dictator, Saddam Hussein, and exposed the region to the kind of chaos that we're seeing right now with the rise of ISIS and all the rest. So Putin is basically saying to the U.S., and he said it at the U.N. on September 28th, we don't want to repeat the same mistakes that happened in Iraq. We want to shore up Assad's support and go after ISIS and the numerous other Saudi-backed groups that the U.S. has, like, support right now is on the same side in this conflict as ISIS and al-Nusra Front, a division of al-Qaeda. So that's where the U.S. position is. They should be joining Russia in a coalition against finally defeating ISIS, stabilizing the region, stemming the flow of refugees to Europe, which is unsustainable, and then dealing with the Assad issue somewhere down the road, but not now.
Okay, John, your point on there. You really are. Thank you. His website, onlinecolumnist.com. 28% of Americans have nothing in their savings accounts, and another 21% don't even have a savings account, according to a new survey. The rate comparison website looked at 5,000 people and found that just 29% of them had $1,000 or more dollars in savings. General Mills is recalling almost 2 million boxes of Cheerios, including regular Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios, that could put people with wheat allergies at risk. Food safety coach Jeff Nelkin. Jeff, how do you recall cereal from somebody who's got an allergy risk? I don't understand.
Well, what happened was there seems to have been, in the processing stage, some mistakes made, and there was a mixing of product, and it's possible that they moved product from, you know, one transportation source to some trucks, and they feel that maybe they didn't clean out the trucks correctly, so there was some cross-contamination of product. So now they're going to be watching that more closely, as well as testing the product when it comes in and in the middle and towards the end of the process to make sure that this mistake doesn't happen again.
Jeffrey, how widespread is food contamination at some of these plants?
Well, you know, there's different types of contamination. You know, what you're, in this case, we're talking about in that a potential allergen cross-contamination that can happen very easily. It can happen, you know, anything from the worker's hands to their, you know, garments that they're wearing, not, you know, cleaning out equipment before you run the next batch of equipment. So cross-contamination in that scenario, very easy to take place and requires a lot of focus and controls and monitoring, you know, when they do these processes.
And Jeffrey, tell me this. If somebody's got an allergy and they've got one of these boxes, I guess they're going to find out the hard way, aren't they?
Well, what they could do is they've set up a number, 1-800-775-8370. So if you do have a box and you, I'm not quite sure, don't use it. Call them and they will tell you the code to identify if this box is one of those boxes that's part of the recall.
Okay, Jeff, thank you so much. Sneezing, we all do it. Okay, so why'd I play it so many times? Because Caitlin Thornley, 12 years old, started sneezing about a month ago, and she hasn't stopped. She sneezes up to 20 times a minute. That's 12,000 sneezes a day. She can no longer attend school, play with her clarinet, go see friends. Doctors still have no idea how to stop it. Can you imagine that? Sneezing 12,000 times a day. Up next, Jesse Ventura back on Coast to Coast. We've got him for a couple hours as we talk about his latest work, American Conspiracies. We'll also get his take on just how he thinks everything's happening worldwide when we come back with Jesse in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Now, I don't have to give you a huge introduction to tell you about this guest, Jesse Ventura, author, of course, television star. In his own right, he has been a former independent governor of the state of Minnesota. He is a former U.S. Navy frogman, professional wrestler as well, movie actor. He's been a visiting fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He's also got a television program called Off the Grid on Aura TV. And here he is back on Coast to Coast. Hello there, Jesse.
Hi, George. How are you doing at this late hour?
Good to have you back. Are you in Mexico or you're here in the States?
No, I'm in the States right now. I usually come home for the summer because my wife has a quite extended family, and we come back to allow that part of our life. I really live two lives. I live the life up here, and then shortly, within about a month or so, I will head off the grid again, not to return until springtime of next year.
And I bet you like both of those lives.
Yeah, I really do. There really changes to them. When I'm in Mexico, I do not watch television at all. We have a TV, but we use it only for DVDs and movies and things of that nature that we pick that we want to watch. But I don't watch any regular TV. And then when I come back to the States, of course, it's almost impossible not to get hooked on the box again. Every year I try not to, and every year I fail.
And when you do your Aura TV show Off the Grid, you also do that from Mexico, don't you, sometimes?
Yeah, well, that's on the Internet, you know, via the satellite. In fact, that's it's a unique way, the way that whole show started. I used to go to Mexico with my writing partner, Dick Russell, also goes down there. We're neighbors, even though we're a few miles apart. That's considered neighbors where we're at. And that's when we would combine and work on the four or five bestsellers that we wrote together, Dick and I. And so I used to do that in Mexico. And then when I'd come back to the States in the spring, of course, we'd release the book and I'd have to do a book tour.
That's right.
Which as always happens with books, which is what I'm doing right now on the re-release of Conspiracy Theories, American Conspiracy, should I say, with four new chapters in it that have updated version.
Well, I got to tell you, I got a lot of response when I was on your television show back about a year ago. We did, it was a very short clip that we did, but I mean, I'm still getting emails from people who have seen that.
Well, good. Like I was saying, the show came about. I was on a book tour,
And on my schedule was Larry King. And Larry had left CNN, and mm-hmm. I assumed he had retired. And I walked into this hotel room, and it's all lit up, and Larry's there. And I said, Larry, I thought you retired. He said, no. He said, I just went to the internet, and I'll never forget. He pointed a finger at me. He said, this is where you need to be.
He probably
and
helped
so
get it
that
done.
Was Ola TV, and I started talking to them, and I told them, well, I made a life choice. I lived down in Mexico off the grid. And they informed me that they had state-of-the-art equipment, that as long as we have a power source and access to the satellite, we can do the show from anywhere. And that's how it then evolved in being called Off the Grid, because, for half the year, I do it from off the grid down in the far reaches of the Baja.
Jesse, we're going to talk about a lot of things with the latest version of American Conspiracy. Some things will shock people. I want to get your take, though, on how you think things are going with the so-called presidential election. Let's start with the Republicans. You're an independent, but how do you explain Donald Trump's surge? And now it seems like his popularity is kind of dwindling a little bit. What's going on?
First of all, let me make this statement so people understand my position clearly.
Okay.
I think it is outrageous that these elections are even happening. I mean, the election isn't for over a year. What's going to happen the next in January of 2017 when the new president takes the oath of office?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when the campaign for 2020 will begin?
Probably.
I mean, it's absurd. Yeah. I'll tell you what I've said, George. We need to pass a law that says you can't even form a campaign committee until the year of the election.
You may be right about this. This
no,
is like
it this way, George. You got all these senators like Rubio on that are missing votes. They're not doing their job. We're paying them to be senators.
You're right.
We're paying them to be governors, and they're off running for president. When Scott Walker was running, who was governing Wisconsin while he's running off to be president?
Yeah, his deputy assistant, his lieutenant governor, but that's not what people voted for.
Exactly. Why can't we make it? I believe also if you hold a current office, you should not be allowed to at that time run for another one. Imagine in the private sector, if we could a moment, if you came up to your boss and you said, boss, I'm going to be gone for the next 6 months looking for a better job, but I want you to pay me while I'm gone.
Exactly. Look, Jesse, the last couple.
He'd say, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
The last couple days, WorldNet Daily and Huffington Post did a story about me possibly running. Like you, it's one of those, if people push you, you might consider it. But you're absolutely right. It's way too early. It's like Christmas decorations up before Halloween. It's crazy.
Well, in my case, when they ask me, George, I always say, why would I get in now and waste the money? Wait until they get down to their final two. Then you come in as the Libertarian candidate, which holds their convention next May or June. That gives you time till November, when they're down to two, to come in and steal the election and win the whole thing. Why would you get in it now? Be ridiculous to get into it at this point.
Probably too early to ask you to make some predictions, but the Donald Trump question again. I mean, he surged, and now he's...
I think what you're seeing here, and I'm happy it's happening, because I dislike both of these political parties. You know, I wrote the book, Democrats and Republicans,
yep.
No More Gangs and Government. And I love it that I'm hearing that it's fracturing the Republican Party and they'll never be the same now because of Trump. Wonderful. And what Bernie Sanders is doing on the Democratic side, terrific. Because these two parties need to be broken up. They need to be made uneasy. They need to make it to where they don't pick our president, we do.
Big point. They have to become accountable, and they've not been accountable for God knows how long.
Well, and that's why you're seeing the look at the three leaders right now are all not politicians.
That's right.
Trump, Fiorina, however you say her name, and the doctor.
Yep, Carson. I mean, that tells you people are fed up with mainstream politicians. I think that's one of the reasons you won when you were the independent as the governor of Minnesota. People didn't want to vote for politicians.
Exactly. And the reason Trump is being so successful is because he's not doing prepared speeches. He's being real. And yes, he makes mistakes and he sticks his foot in his mouth, and I disagree with him immensely on his immigration policy.
Mm-hmm.
But those things aside, there are other things. I think he's completely correct on the Middle East, that it's a quagmire, that when you get in over there, you'll never get out. I mean, George, we've spent $1.7 trillion over there since 9/11, and what do we have to show for it? Nothing.
Nothing. If anything, it's worse than even before.
Exactly, it's worse. Now, why is that? Somebody, obviously, I mean, Halliburton and Cheney made plenty of money.
Yeah, they did.
You know, and that's what people need to realize. That's why I encourage people to read War is a Racket by Major General Smedley Butler, the two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner. Wrote the book over 100 years ago, but it so applies to today. I wish people would read that book and understand that these wars are nothing but money-making rackets.
Tomorrow we're going to break a story, Jesse, that we believe China is now sending troops into Syria alongside the Russians. I mean, this is getting serious.
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to know why we even bother and care. If this is a civil war in Syria, why are we neck deep in it?
We seem to put our neck in everything.
Exactly. And we're the ones that caused it. When we go back to 9/11. I never questioned 9/11 until George Bush made the decision we were going into Iraq. And I sat there and I said, Iraq, they had nothing to do with 9/11. The 19 hijackers, none of them were Iraqis. Why are we going into Iraq? And then it dawned on me, well, if Iraq's fraudulent, then 9/11 is going to be is fraudulent too. And that's when I started to question 9/11. And today, I've been vindicated. You're aware of the 28 redacted pages of the 9/11 report, aren't you?
Mm-hmm, I sure am.
Well, I've spoken directly to Senator Graham and Representative Cook, who have the bill in to make those pages so we can all read them. They've read them, and they told me personally, face-to-face, well, not face-to-face, but on my show, they said there's nothing in there that deals with national security. It all deals with the Saudis were financing the hijackers.
There's got to be a time.
That changes 9/11 completely.
Oh, it's huge. Absolutely, it's huge. And, you know, you wonder why so many Saudis fled the country the moment 9/11 occurred.
Yeah. And now think of this for a minute. My book is American Conspiracy, so let's spin a little conspiracy here, George.
Here we go.
Let's have some fun here. Could it be payback? The Saudis hated Saddam. So did the Saudis do 9/11, and then our payback was we would overthrow Saddam for them?
Maybe, and maybe by doing it, you merely quietly finance those who want to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? Did that happen in back rooms? We'll never know. But it's crazy over there right now, and I don't understand why we're involved in a civil war in Syria. Maybe I'm naive, but I'm trying to figure out how this affects me, Jesse Ventura, and it doesn't.
Well, and I want everyone to know, you know, I spent 9 years in the Navy. You were in the Navy. We love this country.
Yeah.
We love this country. What we're talking about are certain individuals within government over the years who have manipulated, schemed, and planned to do what they have done to try to grease their own skids and destroy this country at the same time.
Well, I don't know about destroying the country, but they got no regard for the country.
You know,
they're just using it as, like you said, to grease their own skids, and whatever happens to the country happens to it. Because
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, my position is I'd like to see us get completely out of the Middle East and get and bring all our troops home. You know, Trump talks about immigration and building walls at the border and all that. Here's my trade-off. I'll accept the walls at the borders, but you got to do one on Canada, too, because we don't want to be racist. So you need to put one on the Canadian border and on the Mexican border.
Walls don't work, Jesse.
We'll turn the country into East Berlin.
People have ladders. They'll get over that.
But I know that, but please bear with me on this one. We'll turn the country into East Berlin.
I know. You're right. Doing that, building a wall, is tantamount to what happened.
George, the great icon of the Republican Party, Ronald Reagan, if I remember correctly, one of his most famous quotes was, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall."
And he got it done. Jesse, we're going to come back and talk about your updated and revised material in American Conspiracies. And folks, wait till you hear this. We'll be back. Welcome back to Coast. Jesse Ventura with us, his latest updated book, along with Dick Russell, American Conspiracies. Jesse, let's dive into this and some of the updated changes. Since you updated in the first book and between that, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, has popped up. Oil industries keep doing what they're doing. I mean, when does it stop?
I don't know. You know, they're trying to build this pipeline now, and people need to be aware that, you know, this pipeline that they want to build through the United States down to the Gulf, they originally wanted to go west in Canada through British Columbia, and they wouldn't allow them. So now they're going to go down through the Gulf, and people need to understand that we're not going to benefit a bit from this oil. It'll be loaded on ships and shipped out throughout the world. That's why it's going down to the Gulf, so that can happen. And, you know, it poses a huge threat to going across one of the largest aquifers in the country. And right now, you know, clean water is of utter importance to everybody on the planet. And we shouldn't be doing things that destroy the water, because we're not going to have enough of it. You can't live without water. You know, if you're out in the desert, George, and you come upon a bottle of water or a can of oil, which one are you going to drink to survive?
Yeah, exactly. You got to do what you got to do to survive. And that's the important thing. Well, as you look at things that are happening in this country right now, what do you see as the most dangerous thing facing Americans?
Well, the most dangerous thing is, I think, is getting our country back from the system that we have, that the Democrats and Republicans have created with the help now of the Supreme Court, of getting corporations out of the election process. They can now contribute unlimited amount of money. They can control our elections. The system of bribery has gone far over the extreme level now, to where the elected officials no longer represent the people at all. They simply represent the people who have bribed them, called the campaign contributions, and that's who controls them. You know, that's the one refreshing thing about Donald Trump, is that he's paying his own freight on this deal, I guess. So you can rest assured no one's controlling him, where all the rest of them are going to be controlled and are controlled. And, you know, I get in trouble, George, because when you define the word fascism, it fits to the United States now and what the corporations have done. Mussolini, I think, would be proud of us today.
We, every time there's a major election, cart out some experts about elections and electronic elections. Jesse, are you convinced that some of these electronic voting machines are being tampered with?
Absolutely, I believe they are. We wrote the chapters on it in the book, American Conspiracies. Why would votes from Ohio need to be sent to Chattanooga, Tennessee?
Yeah.
I mean, that right there should raise your eyebrow. You know, the votes from Ohio got sent to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then somehow worked their way back to Ohio. And these voting machines, it's as simple as this. Sometimes modern technology isn't the best. And in my belief is, still filling in the dot with a pencil is the best way to vote on individual votes, because then you can recount them. These voting machines, would anyone go to an ATM machine that didn't offer them a receipt?
Heck no.
No. Well, these don't offer you a receipt. When you push the button for the candidate of your choice,
it's gone.
You have no way of knowing if it registered for your candidate.
That's true. That is true. I remember when I was a kid, I used to watch CBS News and Walter Cronkite, and I'd stay up late and watch some election returns. And they had a guy on a ladder, and he changed the numbers by hand. It was old time. Maybe we didn't have this latest technology, but it was there. It was slower. But, you know, when Cronkite said, you know, votes are in Michigan or Minnesota, you knew they were in, and you know that they were counted by hand and tallied up. And sure, we had voter fraud all the time, but not nearly as big as it is today.
Not, there wasn't really much voter fraud. When I was governor of Minnesota, we did a big full-blown study of it and found it so insignificant it was laughable. What crooks are going to organize voter fraud, George? When are you going to see people go, you know what, let's round up two people, go to a different district and try to falsely register? Nobody does that.
No. They sure don't.
If there's voter fraud, if there's fraud in elections, it's going to come from these machines because they can be hacked into like any computer.
You can steal states, literally steal the entire state.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to see.
You couldn't in Minnesota because we still do the hand count paper ballots.
They still do it now?
Yep.
That's great. It's slower, but you get them. You get them done.
Not only that, but you can have a legitimate recount then. How do you do a recount when you're getting a tab of paper that looks like an adding machine?
That somebody else can control.
Exactly.
Yep. Not good at all.
Yep. Sometimes older is better.
So the war on drugs, it's not working.
It's a miserable failure.
Why don't they just legalize drugs?
Well, you know, it was interesting. On my Off the Grid show, I had this police officer on who was a 10-year veteran from Baltimore. And we, of course, were discussing this tragedy in America today with the police and the people. And he said it all stems from the war on drugs. All of it. What's happening today all goes to the war on drugs. Because it was the war on drugs that started the police to violate our constitutional rights. Where they can confiscate things from you, they can crash into houses and come in without warrants. They can do all these things now. You know, and our police look like military today.
And our jails are packed with people
exactly. For
petty drug crimes.
And it's all from the war on drugs. We can save our country by ending immediately the ridiculous war on drugs.
I think so. And what would the cartels do if all these drugs were legalized?
They have to find a new business.
Yeah. Prices would plummet. Plummet.
Maybe they'd go to sports betting.
Yeah, they might do that. You never know.
Or fantasy football.
So what is your biggest Jesse Ventura pet peeve about what's going on right now?
My biggest pet peeve, and I try not to be a one-issue voter, but right now, to me, it's these wars we're in. I'm so anti-war right now, and we'll count the war on drugs, too, because that is a war. I'm 64 now. I'm post-World War II, and the United States has literally been at war my entire life.
I know. It just seems like it never stopped.
And I guess I want to sit and quote John Lennon and just say, simply, can't we just give peace a chance once and see what happens?
Would be nice.
We're constantly at war. Everything is geared to war, war, war. And I'll tell you a little pet peeve I have. All these veterans that are coming home now, and you see all these ads on TV like the Wounded Warrior Fund and this and that. Why does the private sector now have to pay for the warriors coming home when the government sent them over there in the first place? Shouldn't they be the responsibility of the government and not coming back to the private sector saying, help out the veterans? Not saying it's wrong. Don't get me wrong, but it irks me that it's the government's responsibility and they're pushing it onto the private sector.
Of course, because the government doesn't want to have anything to do with it. They wash their hands.
Yep. As soon as they use the veteran and the war is over, the government washes their hands of them.
I mean, how long has the government denied that there was any kind of problems with returning Iraqi and Afghanistan vets?
Well, how long did they do it with the Vietnam vets?
And the Agent Orange problem.
Agent Orange and all that stuff. I mean, it's gone on my whole lifetime.
How come we don't just disband the VA hospitals and let our military that need real medical attention go to real hospitals and we as a government pay for it?
Well, here's an interesting one. I'll give you the reverse of that, George. I'm a veteran, and I can't go to the VA hospital. You want to know why?
Why?
I make too much money.
So you're over the limit.
You can't go, even though you're a veteran. If you're at all successful, and the, I forget how low the bar is. The bar is low. If you make over, if you own your own home, you can't even go out there.
Oh, my God. So let's say it's $10,000.
Horrible. If you make over so much money, you can't go, and even though you're a veteran. Now, if you're wounded, you can go, if you were wounded in action. But if you weren't wounded, and because a friend of mine just retired, he was in the Army, and he thought, you know, I could probably get my prescription drugs cheaper out at the VA. So he applies to the VA, and they turn him down, stating, reapply if your financial status changes.
Well, with Jesse Ventura, his updated book, American Conspiracies, and There Are Many. It seems like no matter where you look, I mean, I was reading your book over the last few days getting ready for this. I mean, my God, everything you uncover, there's some kind of heinous thing going on.
Well, you know, people often ask me why I study and read conspiracies, because they're so frequent, and people fail to realize this. When the government gives you their story, it's generally a conspiracy theory, too.
That's true.
Because they don't prove anything. They just simply tell you their version and label it the official story. Well, I like to have fun with that, George. I say it's called the official story because it's usually there to protect officials.
I know GMOs, genetically modified organisms, foods, that's a big pet peeve of yours.
Well, it's something we have to be very careful of. You know, we cover it in the book, and we show how. Here's the thing we have to be careful of. Did you know Monsanto never gets turned down?
Never. I would agree with that.
And here's why. Because it follows what I talked about earlier, the bribery system of our government. They contribute money to the candidates or the people that get elected, and then when it comes time for the elected people to appoint people to the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration and all that,
they're insiders.
They're insiders, exactly. It's their people being put on there. They're buying their way into the FDA, and then the FDA doesn't inspect them. Look at the case of autism kids. Just in my lifetime, the increase in it is astronomical. Today it's up to one kid out of every 68.
Jeez.
And it used to be like one in 10,000.
Would you vaccinate your kids today if
no.
you had to do it all over again?
No. Vaccination made my daughter handicapped today.
Oh, my. I didn't know
my
that.
My daughter is one of the few. She's a rare, but she was, if for her, she got the DPT shot, and it sent her into full-blown seizures.
Oh.
And she had to spend 5 years on medication, all attributed to the DPT
yeah.
shot, which was required if she was going to go to school.
See, that's too much to pump into a little baby too soon. Way
well,
too much.
This wasn't at the time of a baby. She was actually two.
Jeez. That's still a baby.
You know, yeah, exactly. But, you know, but, oh, yeah, my daughter, and I feel fortunate because my daughter today is working. She is handicapped to a certain extent, but she's working. She's happily married, and she's living a good life. I went to a convention in Chicago where there was a group probably of 18 to 20 kids that were completely normal. Because of the DPT shot, they're now drooling in wheelchairs.
Yeah, that is sad.
Now, it doesn't harm all kids, but there's a small percentage out there it's deadly to, and they view that simply as collateral damage.
I found it interesting in the first debate how Donald Trump used that as one of his campaign calls. He said vaccines were dangerous, folks. He brought it up.
They are. I never get those flu shots.
I don't get the flu shots either. I mean, I don't tell people to get them or get them, but I don't take it. And I haven't had the flu, Jesse, in God knows how long.
I haven't either. And I don't get them. I used to always go to the Timberwolf basketball games in the winter, and they had the doctor. He'd always offer to give me one. I said, you ain't giving me one of them shots. I feel fine.
Well, Jesse Ventura, next hour, we'll take phone calls with him. We've got him for one more hour to go. This is late for you, isn't it?
Oh, it's horribly late. I'm a 64-year-old guy. I'm usually sawing logs by 10 o'clock, and I wake up when the sun comes up.
But you always come on my show, Jesse.
Always. Only when they put me in a bad arm bar, George.
I love it. I love it. Do you miss wrestling at all?
No, but I'll tell you, it was heartbreaking when Roddy Piper died.
Yes, I want to ask you about that. He was a great one.
Yeah, he was probably, believe it or not, the guy I was most close. I'm a loner, and I didn't hang with anybody, but my years out of the ring, I was probably closer to Piper than any other wrestler because I had contact with him doing his podcast, and he'd do mine and vice versa and all that.
Yeah, that's a shame. So wrestling, is it for real or is it a little entertainment there?
Well, it's real.
So you can get hurt.
No, what it is, George, I'll give you the simple definition. It's ballet with violence.
Yeah, and if you don't know what you're doing, you can get hurt.
They are phenomenal athletes. They entertain the people. Look at it this way. There's never a bad WrestleMania, is there?
No, there really isn't. Did you ever get hurt in the ring?
I blew my back out so bad one time, my wife had to put my pants on. That's how bad. I couldn't even do that. It was so bad. No, you spend your whole life. There's guys that wrestled way more than me, and I wrestled at 1.63 consecutive nights in a row.
That's too much. That's now at your point now at 64. Do you have any feelings about injuries that you had when you were wrestling earlier in your life?
Sure. At age 58, I had to get my hip replaced, and it was kind of traumatic because I looked at my wife and said, "My God, I'm so old, I wore something out."
Yeah.
And my wife looked at me and said, "You're surprised?" She said, "6 years as a Navy SEAL and 15 years in the ring, and you wonder why you wore something out."
How did you get involved in professional wrestling?
Couldn't sing or dance.
Did somebody like spot you somewhere?
No, actually, my last year in the Navy, I started pumping iron, and I bulked myself up. I was about 230 pounds, solid muscle, and I got out and I thought I might try football. So I was going to go to I went to junior college for 1 year when I got out of the Navy, and while I was right before I got out of the Navy, I came home on leave. And one night when I was home on leave, wrestling was at the auditorium, and I didn't have nothing to do, so I went down by myself, bought a ticket, and ended up getting a seat in the front row. And I had a month and a half left to do in the Navy, and out walked superstar Billy Graham.
Ah.
And I took one look at superstar Graham and his whole persona, and a light went off in my head. And then when I did go to college, I was on the GI Bill, so you can really take anything you want. And I really got into theater. I actually did Aristophanes the Birds, a Greek comedy in college.
Did you?
Yeah. And so I started looking, and I said, wrestling combines my two loves. I love theater, and I love being an athlete. Being a wrestler lets you do both.
And you could do both. That's right.
You could do both. And so I trained with an ex-pro for 7 months, three nights a week, when he felt I was ready. There were 26 territories then. I sent photos out, and the promoters in Kansas City called me up, and they said, "What do you do?" Bob Geigel, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm taking my finals next week." He said, "Take your finals, and then come on down. We'll give you a tryout."
How about that?
And I drove. I left Minnesota in a beat-up Chevy and $250, and that's all I had to my name.
And how long did you wrestle professionally?
15 years.
Wow, that's a long time. Long time. Jesse, stay with us. We're going to come back. Final hour to go with you. We'll start taking some phone calls and talk more about American conspiracies. And there are many, believe me. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, because you get the latest quick information that way all the time. We'll be back.